You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Do you feel that your time and energy is important? Do you feel that your time and energy is important as everybody else's time and energy? If you do, you've got to catch the show. You can't turn the dial. You can't change the channel. Oh, no. If you don't think your time and energy is important, then no worries. You know, let it go. Perspectives is not the right show for you. But for all you out there, you know that your time and energy are importante. Means very important, by the way. Importante. I speak various languages. They're very important. You got to hear this show. You got to tune into this show because this is a show that's not only going to validate, help you out, help you figure out how to work out your schedules, how to deal with those people that want all that from you, how to overcome some of the issues, and how to place good boundaries. You know, a lot of us don't know how to do that. And I think it's funny because some of us, for those that don't care about their time and energy, we'll let them accept the call from the cable repair people, letting them know that they have a 15-hour window between the time that they can arrive, and then they might not actually even show up that day. I mean, think about it. I mean, a lot of times we have friends in our life that do the same thing. They might show up. They might not show up. They might come out. They might not come out. They might follow through. They might not do anything. I mean, right now at this existing time in my life, I think that you can totally get on the bandwagon with me when I say that there are so many people in my life from a work standpoint, other standpoints, where there's all these loose ends. There's things dangling. Things aren't done. The due date was a long time ago. We're still rolling through that. Some of us have stuff that's been up in the air for months, some of us for years. And boundaries are very interesting, and I want to talk about that because when our time and energy are important, we have to, I think, establish what I like to call boundaries. And, you know, there's three reasons why it's a good idea to place boundaries. And the reason why I place boundaries personally is because, first, I like to protect my time. I like to protect my time and my efforts. Because I think a lot of times, when we surround ourselves with people that don't care much about their time, they don't care much about our time either. And how many of you have friends out there who are constantly 30 minutes late for everything you do? What about 45 minutes late? What about an hour? I mean, I'm serious. I know some of you out there constantly wait for somebody who runs over 30 minutes late for every time you get together. That's got to get irritating after a while. And it's like all about protecting our time. And I know a lot of times when you go to the doctor's office and you sit and wait, that kind of feels like somebody's taking advantage of your time, right? It feels like that because when is the last time that you let somebody else wait 1 hour and not do anything about it? Protecting our time is so important. And there's another level of protection of time. It's not just the minutes and the seconds that are ticking by. Time is a limited option. We have a limited amount of something. So when we have a limited amount of something, i.e., in this case, time, when we have a limited amount of something, in this case, we consider it time, how do you use your time wisely? And I think it's interesting when we use the word use, because you are using it up, right? You're using it up. You're using your time. You can't get it back. You can't recycle it. It's gone. And, you know, in the last few months, more so than ever, I've been actually thinking about that on a very deep level. On an extremely deep level, because I'm realizing that life is too precious And time, which is a component of life, is too precious of a commodity to just give it to anything and anyone. And I think that's interesting because we have to know when to let somebody new in. We have to know how much time we're going to give that person. We have to know how much time we're going to give the old school friends. We have to wonder how much time are we going to give to the ex? How much time are we going to give to a friend of yours that's not really living right? How much time are you going to give to give advice to that same person over and over again that seems to never take it and is always in that same place? Never taking your advice, but always taking up your time. When was the last time that you were sitting at a restaurant with a friend? I'm not qualifying level of friend, best friend, acquaintance. I'm not going to qualify that. But when was the last time you were sitting there with a friend and you thought to yourself, why am I here? What am I doing here? And oh my gosh, how much time am I wasting? I could be doing anything besides this that I'm doing right now. And when was the last time that you thought about that? And I know some of us have a tendency of thinking about that often because we don't choose properly the things that we need to be doing. It's like almost like when you're around somebody that is helpful and you have a purpose that's similar, it seems like it's almost like a rebirth. Like the phoenix flying out of the flames, reborn. But you know, think about it. When we're around people that just suck the energy right out of us, or we're around people that we don't need to be around, or we're around people that we're letting take our time that don't need to be, it's not really about them taking our time, is it? It's about us putting ourselves in the position to let this happen. What about we need to place boundaries in order to protect our energy? Our energy. Wow, that's a big deal. Our energy. Think about energy is so important. Like when people say, man, I felt their energy or I felt their karma or whatever it is. Oh, man, they had really good chi or I really like this or like that. And it's interesting because when we use boundaries to realize, to begin to protect our energy, we realize the types of people and the situations that we put ourselves in. You know, because negativity is not fun, at least it's not for me. And it sucks the positive energy out of anything. And it's interesting how it's very difficult to be positive when others around you are being very negative. And I think we've all been around people who are perpetually, I love that word, perpetually negative. I mean, I think these same people, because of their negativity, can honestly rob us of our energy. They become these things called energy suckers. Some of you call them vampires. I call them energy suckers. It's about the same thing, but the energy suckers aren't wearing some crazy black cloak that Dracula wears. They kind of normally wear like business suits or jeans and a shirt or sweat top and shoes. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But I think it's interesting how when we don't use boundaries and to protect ourselves against energy suckers, we have a tendency of losing our energy, of getting tired, of feeling sick, of feeling run down. And, you know, one thing that we have to realize when we're around energy suckers, because this is so important, because some of you say, well, I don't know if I'm around an energy sucker, Ashley. How do I find that out? Well, that's a really, really good question, and thanks for asking. Because when you're thinking about what is an energy sucker, a lot of identifications to knowing that you're around energy suckers is that you feel internally tense. You feel like internally tense and guarded around them. If Have you ever felt that way? Tense? Ugh. You know, you're kind of like, you know, you're clenching the teeth, clenching your jaw. Maybe you're clenching your hands in like a fist. Maybe you end up getting like a nervous tic, like scratching your arm or, you know, something like that. I mean, you know, picking at your nails for some of you women out there. I mean, you know, a lot of times that happens and you can feel like this nervous tic or you just feel very guarded. Maybe your shoulders are very tense. You feel kind of edgy. And ultimately, you can't wait to get away from them. You can't wait. And it's like you might not know it at the very beginning, but once you get away from it, it's like, oh. So stay tuned. We're going to be talking more about the reasons why we need to use boundaries and how you can begin to use boundaries today. Stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time in two shakes.
Up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about your time and energy and how it's important and how we have to basically create boundaries, really. Boundaries. You know, it's all about the boundaries she had. It's all about the boundaries that she created that changed her life for the better. I don't know what kind of accent that is, but I went with it. And you know, the three reasons why I think it's a good idea to place boundaries, because if your time and energy really are important, and I think that they are, because if you're listening to this show called Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, then you got it going on. You're sexy, you're intelligent, people like you. So think about it. The three reasons why it's a good idea to place boundaries is to protect our time. Because there's a finite, limited amount of time. And there's a film that came out, I think, back in 2011. Okay? And it was called In Time. It was called In Time, and I guess it had Justin Timberlake in it. But basically, you had a time that you were given. You could buy it. You could steal it. But when you ran out of time, you ran out of time. And I think a lot of times because we're not in that such a dire straits, and that because 85 years old or 100 years old seems so far away, we have a tendency of not thinking about how important our time is. We don't think about the importance of our time. We don't think about how important it is to us, and we don't think about what we actually need to be doing with our time. And I'm not going to sit there and paint some sort of negative picture for you, but I'm going to say it's better to figure out now than later. Are you spending the time with the right people? Are you doing what's right with your time? And are you protecting your time? And just recently, I began to start protecting my time in more of a very positive, vigilant way because I didn't really think about it. I used to give time to everybody, and I love saying hi to people. That's not going to change. And I love speaking with people and getting to know them, and that's not going to change. But some things have changed. And if you want to talk about my personal changes, I've changed some of the people I spend time with because I've realized that some people I was spending time with were antithetical to who I am. And what I mean by that is, let me give you a good example. I'm sure some of you out there have friends that you've known since you were pretty young. And you were very impressionable, and you like them a lot, but they don't stand for what you stand for. But better yet, when you spend time with them, it's like you begin to get a little insecure. You begin to get a little insecure, or you end up doing things against your values. And it puts you in a catch-22, because not only are you doing things against your values, and better yet, things you don't believe in. And I'll even presuppose the fact that it even causes strain, if not pure guilt, in your mind. And think about all the time that you're wasting with that person to create strain and guilt to do something that you didn't want to do in the first place. And I think we have a tendency of doing that sometimes because we hang out with people because it's fun and exciting, because opposites attract, because we've always hung out with them, because we'd rather hang out with somebody than to be alone. And it's interesting when this happens because when we do this, we mess ourselves up because we don't only use our time, okay, which there's a finite amount of. I told you that earlier. We know for a fact that we have a limited amount of it, right? Okay. For example, let's just say you have three parcels of land. One, two, three. Three parcels of land in an area where there is no available land. Okay. Do you just give those parcels away? Probably not. Do you give it to the lowest bidder? Probably not. Do you give it to the highest bidder? Or do you keep it? Yes. And sometimes the highest bidder might not actually even be your best option. Sometimes your best option is you. And what I mean by that is this. The most important relationship in your entire life is the relationship with yourself. And if this is the first time that you've heard this, let this register now. If it's not the first time I heard this, this is actually registering quite well. The most important relationship you have is with you. Yeah. And once we get to know ourselves really, really, really well, and once we get to know ourselves highly spiritually well, and once we get to figure out what our Achilles heel is, we all have an Achilles heel, really. Not just the one that we have, but another Achilles heel that that is personal. It's something that we have a tendency of using to keep ourselves away from our greatness. It's the thing that we use ourselves to blockade ourselves from certain success. Let me give you an example of an Achilles heel real quick, because this might be helpful. For some of us, it could be alcohol, drugs, pharmaceutical drugs, okay? It could be gossip. It could be self-doubt. It could be sex. And some of us might not actually act on it, but we think about it and we get caught up on a daily basis because we're trying to realize what to do. And once we know our Achilles heel, meaning once we spend enough time, not necessarily giving our time to the highest bidder, but getting our time back for ourselves, we can work to begin to see it for what it truly is. Not only to see what it is, but why is it, what's the trigger point, and why is it that we choose to do this, and in the process, derail ourselves. And I think it's interesting because a lot of us pick that top three, drugs, alcohol, or sex. That's our three that we pick. It's the three most publicized Achilles heels we can all have. Some of us pick all three. You know, some of us like, I'll take alcohol and drugs for 1,000 there. Alex Trebek, I'll take alcohol and smoking. And some of us are like, well, I don't even drink or smoke, but I'll take sex as an addiction, sir. And so think about it. These are things that we deal with, and we have to realize why is it and what is really going on. But better yet, we need that personal time to start thinking about why we've chosen that particular Achilles heel. And that's one of the reasons why we want to protect our time with boundaries, is because it's limited. And because our most important relationship is with ourselves, because once we get ourselves right, we understand all other relationships. Once we get ourselves right, and I'm serious about this, I'm serious as the day is long. Once you figure out yourself, and you get it down so well, and you figure it out, and you understand all the nuances and the ins and outs, and why you do what you do, and why you make choices this way, and why you picked that and why you picked this and why you chose this and why you chose that and all those things. What's your Achilles heel and why is it? And how do you stop from going down that path? And once you figure all that out, people will start thinking you're a mind reader. They'll start thinking that you know more than they could ever know. You start becoming almost like super strength. And one of the things that you do once you notice your Achilles heel is you realize the people immediately who it seems like it's their job, it's their mission, it's their life's mission to help you facilitate your personal roadblocks. When we return, I'll be talking about those specific people. How to identify them. How to identify the roadblocks that come in the form of people in your life. And how to move on. So stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about your time and energy and how important your time and energy is. And I've been talking about boundaries, and right now I want to talk about how you can identify those people in your life that aid and abet and help you put those boundaries out there for yourself by helping you unleash your Achilles heel on yourself and sabotage yourself in the process. And I'm not saying that it's all them, but they are a cohort. They are a cohort. And in the process of being a cohort, they are very good at helping you ruin your life. And I know some of you out there go, I don't have anybody like that, but you do. Everybody's got one or two. And it's funny, they normally come in a fashion. They normally come in a fashion of somebody that you've known for a long period of time. Okay? Or you go from person to person, you meet several people, and they're all kind of similar, and you go through a batch of them through a lifetime. For me, however, the few people that would add to my Achilles heel are people that I've known for a long time, and those are the people that can really, it's the ones that, you know, you all kind of joke around about, but it's true when you say, man, you know, golly, I can't hang out with you too long. We'll be in jail. We'll ruin each other's lives. We'll die together, running off a cliff somewhere. And those are the people that you want to identify first and foremost. And a lot of times, the way to identify people that add to your problems, usually, not all the time, but usually, I'm going to give you a heads up on this, usually, you are running after them. You heard me. Usually, you're running after them. It's like you can't wait to ruin your life. This is awesome. You don't think about it from that standpoint. However, for the most part, that's exactly what's going on. You know, when I talk to clients a lot of times who are having problems with their marriage, and I'll say, you know what? Well, give me some examples of what's been going on in your marriage, and let's talk about it. You know, give me a good example of something that's not been working lately, and let's try to fix it. And they'll be like, okay. Okay, so they'll be like, okay, so 2 weeks ago, this is an example of something that just recently happened with one of my clients. I went out with some friends of mine. Some of the guys, my wife's not a big fan of them. I've known them since high school. We've been friends since high school. And, you know, some of them have really gone places. Other than them haven't. A couple of my friends still living at home with their parents. But, you know, every time I go out with these people, something always goes down. And I was like, well, what happened this time? They're like, well, we went to a couple of places, couple of bars, hung out, you know, ended up going to another bar. And, you know, my friend, you know, introduced me to some women. And, you know, next thing you know, we're talking and hanging out and having a few drinks. And, you know, my wife calls. I didn't know really what to do. I'm in a loud bar. Talking to some women, and I didn't really know what to do, so I let it go to voicemail. And as we're talking, and we're buying drinks with these women, and we're hanging out, and they're getting real close and sidling up, and one's got her arm around me, and phone rings again. It's the wife again. I don't know, it's close to 12:30 at night. Don't know what to do. And you know, I'm having fun. I don't know what to do, so I didn't want to do, so I let it go back to voicemail. And finally, about 1 o'clock, I realized where this was going. And maybe I always knew where this was going, but I realized where this was going, and I realized that I had to be true to my marriage. And so I left, I took a cab, and I told my friends I had to go, and I went home. And my wife was furious at me. And I had done the right thing. I hadn't gotten in trouble. I hadn't gone back over to their house. I came home. I was true to my wife, and she's mad at me. She's yelling and upset. Can't believe I got home so late. Why I wasn't answering the call. What was I doing? And he's like, and every time I hang out with this same group, she always gets angry at me. What do you think it's about? I'm like, well, first off, I think that everybody should have friends, okay? First and foremost, a healthy marriage. In a healthy marriage, the women, the husband, the man, the wife, whoever, should have their own friends. And when I mean friends, they should have friends that they've known for a while or friends that they like, but everybody should have outside relationships because it's healthy that way. However, there are certain friendships that aren't necessarily healthy. And I want to dig into this example because I think this example might connect with a lot of you. Okay, so whether you're a man or a woman, for the most part, if you're at a certain age point, you have friends that like to go out. And it's not bad to go out. But you have some friends, and I want to kind of pick this scenario apart. So there were 5 guys with him. And you have to think about why people do certain things. First off, everybody in that group knows that he's married. 2, everybody in that group except for 2 of the guys went to his wedding. So they know that. 3, they all know he's been married for a long time, over 10 years, and they all know that he's faithful to his wife. Okay? They all know that he likes to party, but he tries to keep it together. And they know that he's true to his wife, but people have like certain, you know, it gets to a point where you can't keep dangling a carrot in front of somebody, okay? So in this situation, when his guy friends introduced him to the girls, part of it was to introduce them because they wanted the girls around, but what was the other reason? And you have to kind of look at it from all different angles, and I'm not saying that everybody's out to ruin your marriage, and I'm not saying that other people might be jealous of your marriage, and I'm not saying that some people might want to see you get knocked down a notch, but I'm saying you got to look at it from different angles, the people that you spend time with. Okay? You got to look at it from different angles. And the interesting part about this is that when you begin to look at it from all these different angles, you begin to pick and choose the people you spend time with, but better yet, you pick and choose the areas and the places that you spend time with certain people. You also create boundaries that allow you to freely go in and out of these social circles without feeling bad about leaving early, and with them knowing where you stand. I found out a lot in life without boundaries, people try to see where you stand, and they're going to push you to see where you're at. Okay? For some of you women out there, if you're out hanging out with your friends, maybe you have club night once a month with your friends, and you're able to go out on a Saturday night and go dancing and have some fun, and that's fun, and you got your husbands that are at home or they're out doing whatever. But when you meet guys that are hanging out talking to you and everything, you know the thin line. You know there's a line between talking and something else. And people like to see what your boundaries are. Do you have any boundaries? And it's interesting because a lot of people don't have any boundaries. And you ask why. Why would people not have boundaries? Why in God's creation would people not have boundaries? Because they've never had them. You know, so think about it. Children often feel that boundaries are mean when they're immature, okay? When they grow up, they usually realize that boundaries are there to keep them safe. Adults who are raised without protective boundaries often feel that someone saying no to them is being mean because they never learn self-control. You know, naturally, when children do not get what they want, they are disappointed. But learning to accept no from others is essential to a godly character. However, setting boundaries of children must be done in loving ways. But think about it. A lot of people have never had boundaries. A lot of adults out there have never been raised with any sort of boundaries. How many of you know people that when you said no to them or said, hey, I can't do that, or say, hey, that doesn't flow with me, or hey, I'm married, or hey, sorry, I can take you home, but that's as far as it's going. I mean, how many of you have gone, have literally had that person look at you and go, excuse me? Excuse me? What is this? You're like, well, earth to so-and-so, this is what we call boundaries. These are healthy boundaries that healthy people have. And it's so true. Because in order to be healthy, especially on this planet at this time, you've got to have healthy boundaries. Stick with me on Perspectives tonight. I'll be talking more about boundaries, more about negativity and energy suckers, and how to deal with those folks in your life that just don't seem to be able to shovel enough negative press towards you, negative energy, and tell you all about the negative, sad news stories that they heard just to keep you thinking about it and sad all day. Stay tuned. From now on, I'll check out also, by the way, AshleyBurgess.com, AshleyBurgess.com. Also, check out the AshleyBurgessNetwork.com. Check out the Ashley Burgess Show, Perspectives on Spreaker and iHeart. Stay tuned because Perspectives, your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time in two shakes.
You could be my luck. Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. We'll be safe and sound.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. We've been talking about the reasons to place boundaries tonight and when you want to do that. And, you know, you want to place these boundaries to protect your time because we realize that time is a limited quotient. We only have a limited, finite amount of time. And our energy, to protect our energy, because we want to protect our energy against people who are going to present negative energy. People who are going to try to override our positive energy with a negative tendency. You know, and I talked about earlier about how to identify energy suckers, and that's because when you feel tense around them, you may be guarded around them. You can't wait to get away. You may have begun your time with them feeling very energetic, but quickly you lose your energy and you begin to feel even possibly ill. You feel confined or constricted with them, and sometimes we feel like we're under constant attack or constant scrutiny when we're around them. And I know some of you know exactly what I'm talking on this one. Where someone's constantly attacking the way you're dressed, the way you act. And they can be doing this in a very funny type tongue-in-cheek manner. They can be doing this in a way that's just kind of rude. They can be doing this because they've done it always. They've always done this. And I think we've all had people in our life that at one time we call them a friend, I think. But literally, they judge and downgrade everything you do in your life. And they make a joke out of it. Ha ha ha. What are you wearing? God, that's awful. What's that about? Oh my gosh. And those are the kind of people that you got to stick away from. And those are the kind of people that we need to create boundaries with. Well, usually we have tension. We can have a tension headache. And there's a lot of reasons why we have to set these boundaries, because life, again, is too short to hang around people who want to beat up on you. Life is too short for people to get into your physical and emotional space when you don't need them there. Okay? It really, really, really is. And I mean, there's a lot of examples that I can produce right now about how when you get in the wrong space with the wrong people, it doesn't matter where you were at before. It doesn't matter what kind of space you were in before you saw them, but they can literally suck all that out and replace that with insecurity. Maybe like, God, I can't believe I went over there and spent time with this person. It's antithetical. And those people could actually be your Achilles heel that you've actually created and bring back into your life. And what I'm saying to you is this, is the people that you probably shouldn't be hanging out with are the people that don't really reach out to communicate with you. They're the people that you keep reaching out to communicate with. And occasionally they might reach out, but you don't have to go. You don't have to jump on that. A lot of times with these people, they might reach out once every 6 months. And you can have that. You can have the choice of calling or not calling. But if it is your Achilles heel, you will jump on that call immediately and be anywhere that they're at. And later on, after you leave that, you're going to hate it. You're going to be like, man, I can't believe that I went through all this. So let's talk about how and why we need to place boundaries. You know, the first thing that I like to talk to my clients about is, are there issues in life where boundaries need to be established? And the first boundaries that I think are very interesting that we begin with is one boundary that people don't really think about, and one way to employ all boundaries is by telling the truth. I know that sounds simple, but that is a major boundary right there. Telling the truth can supply you with a major boundary. And let me explain. Example, somebody calls you on the phone and says, hey, do you want to come to XYZ tonight? I think it'd be fun. And you don't want to go. Well, then just say, you know what? Thanks a lot for inviting me, but I really don't want to go. But hey, I'll catch you another time. Okay? Most of us, however, say, oh, yeah, that's great. That's fine. Oh, yeah, okay. And you get there and you're frustrated and you're upset and you can't believe that you wasted your time. Okay? What about when you meet someone and they immediately think that you want to go out on a date with them? Instead of saying initially what might hurt or might sadden or might get their panties in a bunch, saying, you know, hey, I think you're a great person, but I'm not interested in going out with you. Instead of doing that, you lead somebody on. And then what happens later on? A blow up. Person gets really angry. Y'all end up having an argument when you could have just ended it in the very beginning. And you don't have to be mean with telling the truth. And if somebody can't accept your truth and they can't accept what you're talking about, then they don't need to be around and you don't need to be around them. Because as I say, the truth will set you free. You know, think about it. Are there friends or family that you should sit down with and perhaps have a dialogue on their particular actions and behaviors and how it makes you feel or the impact it has on you? Think about it. You know, I recently had a cousin of mine that every time they call me, they always talk about negative stuff. It's always, you know, sometimes it's okay, but most of the time it's about, you know, somebody died or somebody had a heart attack or this or that happened. And I finally said, I can't handle this anymore. And they're like, what do you mean? And I waited so long. I just was like, I've been meaning to tell you this, but I mean, when you get down, when you start talking like this, it really kind of depresses me. And they're like, oh, I didn't even know that. You don't even know half these people I'm talking about. I go, I know, but I'm a human being and I care about people and I'm very empathetic and I'm very compassionate. And what you're talking about, it makes me sad. And they were like, wow, I had no idea. And I go, I didn't think you did. And I totally understand. And so you have to look at it from that perspective, because a lot of times people don't even realize that what they're doing is impacting you. Do you see what I'm saying? Some people don't realize that. And most people don't. Because again, most people haven't spent enough time with themselves to understand themselves, much less you. They're too busy trying to figure out them. Okay? They're not trying to figure out you. So sometimes you have to just sit there and say, hey, I love you. I care about you. I think you're an awesome person. But I'm just going to just put it real quick. I really don't do well mentally and emotionally when I hear about all this awful stuff that's happened to these people, because I have sympathy and empathy and I have compassion for them. And if you don't mind, I mean, it would be great if you could let that go for a little while and we just talk to each other and I can catch up with you and the family. And, you know, not one time did my cousin realize the impact they had. And when I finally explained it to them, it made perfect sense. And, you know, ever since then, our conversations have been very well. And there's some people you'll have to actually explain this to several times. Okay, some people get that immediately. Some people get the new motive operandi, like a flash of lightning. They're like, bam, I got it. I'm in it to win it. Thank you, Ashley, for telling me. Other people, you have to train them. Other people, you got to train them. And other people, you got to just cut bait and let go. And a lot of times with the cut bait and let go people, it's not them holding on the line, it's you holding on the line. And, you know, because a lot of us, we do have a tendency of wanting to self-sabotage ourselves. And if we can spend time with others who do that very well with us, then we have a tendency of holding on that line. And we have to be able to look within ourselves to figure out what part of ourselves wants to self-sabotage ourselves and what part of ourselves wants to move ahead, because that's an internal fight in its own. You know, I recently had a conversation with a client that is in rehab. And they're doing well. They're clean and sober for 2 months now, but they still haven't gotten it. It's not about being off the drugs. They still have the drug mentality. Do you see what I'm saying? So anybody that's gone through somebody that's been addicted or is through addiction or is in, currently in rehab, or you lost a family member or friend because of drugs, you know what I'm talking about when that person's still, they're in this mentality. And what I explain about this mentality is there's a formula for self-lying and not telling the truth, because they've been lying to themselves for so long that they're lying to you too and they think you're buying it. And those are people that you got to have real boundaries with. And I'm not just talking about people who have addictive personalities or rehab, but I'm saying when somebody is lying to themselves and is trying to fool themselves, they're obviously going to try to fool you, because the only way they can continue to fool themselves is to lie to you. And I've realized in life that when you hang out with people who lie about themselves, you're hanging out with a loose cannon, someone you don't know and someone that doesn't even know themselves. And life is too short for that. Life is too short. When we return, I'll be talking more about leadership. I'm going to start talking about leadership. I'm going to start talking about living clean life, about how to really live that clean life and overcome that Achilles heel that you have, about how by doing that creates a proud self and creates a successful person. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time in 2 shakes.
You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, in our second hour, we want to talk about leadership. We want to talk about living clean and how living clean directly relates to leading our lives and to being proud, to being in the right place at the right time. That directly leads to success and ultimately makes you a leader. Let's begin this discussion with deciding and describing and defining what living clean means. And I believe that living clean means making the choices that can be difficult to make. Making the choices that aren't the easiest choices to make. Choosing the path less taken. An easy breezy example is, let's say, for example, you're out with some coworkers and everybody's getting jiggy with it at the bar, and instead of your third drink, you begin to drink water, and you become responsible. The responsibility quotient kicks in, and you're the one that helps everybody get home and does their thing. And the easy thing to do would be to do the opposite. Be the one with the necktie around your head on drink number 10, doing the karaoke and getting kicked out. And I think that a lot of times when we're living clean, we're making those difficult choices. But I believe that over a period of time, the more we make the right choices, the more easy it is to make these choices. You know, it's interesting, because when you begin to live clean, you start, I think most of us do that on most of the time, but sometimes it can be hard. We have that Achilles heel. Remember, we talked about that earlier, about the Achilles heel, the thing that sometimes we just have a difficult time getting over. For some of us, that could be smoking, that could be drinking, alcohol, drugs, sex even, flirting, gossip, gambling. Another good example is like when you're living clean, let's say like you see something on the ground, like somebody's wallet or whatever, you bring it to somebody, you try to do the best you can to get that back to the person that it belongs to. You go out of your way to help them, really. But is it really going out of your way? And I've talked about this on previous shows, about how sometimes you hear people say, well, I went out of my way to go do that. I went all the way out of my way to do this for you, unbeknownst to me. Honestly, you know, you hear people talk about it. I went out of my way. Is it really going out of the way, though? Because when you think about it, I believe personally, when we do the right thing, right? When we do the right thing, when we're living clean, we do the right thing. Let's say we see the wallet on the street corner, okay? You look around, you don't see anybody walking around, so nobody just dropped out their wallet. You open up the wallet, you look for the license, you see the address. I mean, most of the time for me, as long as it's in the same area, not like in a different state or something like that, I'll go look up the person online, see if I can get in touch with them. Otherwise, I'll bring it over there. A lot of times I'll look around the area and see if maybe they would have come out of an establishment where I can drop that off at. But I believe that when you're doing that, you're putting yourself in the right place at the right time. Because when you do the right thing, it's like there's these little samples. It's like these little options that come around ever so often. I think they come around a lot more than people realize. But when you do the right thing, it puts you in the right place at the right time, exactly where you need to be. So recently I've had this happen like every single day of my life several times. But the other day was kind of funny. Okay, so, I have a satellite studio outside of the other studios, outside of all the main studios, where I do a lot of my work at, because you know what, I like to do my work, and I like to be solo, and if I have, you know, callers or people in, I like to, you know, it's just, I like to have a really comfy, cozy place where people can go and feel really good, and it doesn't matter if they're an A-list star, or if they're a professor, or they're a soccer mom, it doesn't matter, because when they come over to my place, it's not the pomp and circumstance, but it's a really cool studio that's very cool and very cool, and it's like a tiny old house. It's a really cool thing, and I don't live there, but it's a really cool place that I call my work home. And there's all these really cool, like, Victorian old homes across the street from where it is, and it's just a really neat little area. And there's a lot of lawyers and psychologists and psychiatrists that are in the area. Go figure that. And the other day, they just built a grocery store really close to where I'm at. And the other night, I went to go grab some food. It was about 8 o'clock at night. I'd just gotten done doing some stuff in the studio. And I went up there and grabbed some food, and I walked back to my office because the parking's really difficult in that area. And I walked back to my office, and as I'm walking back, I see this lady come out of one of the offices across the street, come down the staircase, leave the front door of this Victorian home with all the lights on and everything, and the door completely wide open. And I see her put her stuff in her car, and I watch her because I thought, oh, she's got to go back to close the door. And I see her put her case and this and that and all this stuff. And I think she was working for a lawyer before they went to trial, getting all the pieces of evidence together and what have you, putting all that together. And I see her close the back a trunk, and then I see her close the back door of her car. I see her get in the car and haul off. And I look up there, and it's like, it's probably about closer to 8:30. And I realize there's nobody in that office, and the door is wide open. And I thought, well, there's got to be somebody walking out, maybe. Maybe she's left the door open for somebody. No, she just forgot to shut the door completely. So I put my groceries in the car, and I walked over there, and I turn out one of the lights, and I pull the door closed. Now, I didn't get a Medal of Honor for that. Nobody came out of there. No, Ed McMahon didn't show up with balloons and confetti, you know, streaming down from the ceiling. Yay, Ashley! She's the best citizen in the world. Oh, my God. She's so great. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Kisses, kisses, kisses. Cake. Cake balls for everybody. Woo! No. There wasn't cake balls for everybody. I really wish there would have been. I mean, I'm on a diet, though, but you know how it is. But yeah, there wasn't streamers, there wasn't confetti, there wasn't Ed McMahon behind the door. But you know what? I did the right thing. Some people could have said I went out of the way, but I believe that that scenario puts you into the position that you need to be, i.e., think about the small things. By closing that door when I did, it actually slowed down my trip back to my house after the grocery store. So I left there, went to my office, put the stuff down, went and closed the door, closed off their lights, picked the stuff back up, put it in my car, went and grabbed stuff out of the studio, put it in my car, and headed home. I was probably behind by 5 minutes, but who knows what would have happened had I gotten in that car and just left that door open. One, I hate to say it, but there wouldn't be a lot of stuff over there at the office probably still across the street. I'm sure somebody would have come by and made the TVs and whatever useful and taken that. Two, I would have felt pretty bad when I would have saw the police cars out there the next day. Three, who knows what would have happened in that 5-minute stall? I could have gotten hit by a car. All kinds of other stuff had happened. And I think I've told y'all about this in a previous show where I had a lady jump out in front of me the other day. She jumped out in front of my car. And I stopped, and I didn't get angry, and I didn't honk my horn, and I didn't go crazy, and I didn't go off, and I didn't use all those letters and words that people use. And I waited for her because I wanted to see what she's going to do, and I didn't want to hit her, and she ended up jumping back on the sidewalk, thank goodness, and I continued to go. However, if I had not stopped for her, if I would have swerved around her, I would have been T-boned by a big Suburban that had just at this point in time ran a stop sign, and I would have been right at the time where they would have hit me. And it's like all that stuff accumulates together and creates what happens. And it's a very interesting scenario. And our life is predicated on doing the right thing that puts us in the right place at the right time. Okay. And I think that it also means doing the right thing, that is doing what's inherently right for our inherent spiritual growth. Okay, doing inherently right for our inherent spiritual growth. Yes. For example, closing that door and doing that for some people, I don't know if that's something that would interest them or not, but I knew that that was the right thing to do. Doing the right thing inherently for your spiritual growth means as well doing what's right for you to expand your spirituality, to expand your mind, to expand your heart, to understand where you come from, to be there, to understand yourself, and to also be very vigilant in a positive light when it comes to limiting certain intake of certain content. Knowing when that content is not acceptable for your spiritual attainment, realizing certain foods and beverages are not the things that you should be eating or drinking to better yourself, almost the opposite, and taking precautions when it comes to your spiritual growth. There are certain things that I will not listen to. There are certain places I will not go. There are certain things that I will not expose myself to. And because of that, I do that on a positive, vigilant manner. Because the stuff that you see, you can't unsee. The stuff you see, you can't unsee. You can't unsee things. Do you see what I'm saying? You can work to overcome it. You can work to let it go. But you can't unsee something that you've seen. And when we return, I'll be talking about how I've worked with clients in the past who have seen things that is very difficult and traumatic for them to get out of their minds, as well as how we can respect ourselves and ultimately what living clean truly means. Remember, you can always check out past shows on AshleyBurgess.com, AshleyBurgess.com, Burgess.com. Check out me on Twitter. Go on and comment to me. Tell me, when was the last time you inherently did the right thing for your spiritual journey? I want to hear about it. Go on and comment and say something to my Twitter handle, @AshleyBurgess, all one word, because I want to hear what you have to say. And also give me some tips on how you live clean, about how you're living clean, doing the right thing, and being in the right place at the right time, because I want to know more. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time in 2 shakes.
Up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about living clean, how it leads to being proud. Being in the right place at the right time leads to the success in your life and ultimately makes you a leader. Right before the break, I was talking about how living clean is really important and how it's the best basis of living clean is doing what's right for your spiritual growth. You know, we can sit there and look at it from every angle, but what's right for you spiritually? And I feel that once we realize where we stand, once we realize who we are in this universe and who we really are and who our spirit is and what we're doing, and we understand that we have a higher self and that higher self is within us, once we understand a lot of this stuff and we realize that when we do things that are of addictive behavior type attitudes, type mentality, that we bond and tie down our higher self and we hurt ourselves, like we put ourselves in a prison. In the prison, the bars of the prison represent Ferris Bueller's Day Off is a great film. No, seriously, think about it. When we realize that we shackle ourselves by choices we make that are the opposite of living clean, we begin to realize the damage we do to our spiritual awakening. Okay, so even if it's drugs, alcohol, sex, whatever it is, gambling, when we realize that it tears us down and takes us down a notch and keeps us away from spiritual growth, we are able to eventually let it go. Because once we know where we are and who we really are and what's really going on this earth, once you know, like I say, once you see something, you can't unsee something. What I was talking about before the break, too, is that you got to really watch your content for your spiritual growth. You got to watch what you allow to see and to hear. I've had clients that have come into my office who have seen something at a decently young age, 18, 24, whatever. And they were having fun or they were doing whatever. And it really almost corrupted them. It's like they couldn't unsee it. And what I'm saying is, think about how it is when somebody tells you an awful story, how your mind kind of creates those images and it's almost like you were there. Okay. And that's one of my pet peeves, is when people got to recreate all the negative stuff out there. It's like, man, come on, man. I'm a very compassionate person, and it really is tough on my heart when I hear that kind of stuff. However, for everybody out there, remember, you can't unsee something. You can't unhear something. So remember to put yourself in places where you're not going to hear things that are going to cause problems to your psyche, that you're not going to see things that are going to hurt your heart or going to cause damage to your mind. You know, and I think the biggest thing that goes back to is respecting yourself, right? When we're able to respect ourselves and to understand ourselves and to see ourselves for who we truly are, we take it to the next level. And we power up. We power up because we're seeing that we have to respect ourselves because we want to respect ourselves. Why wouldn't we want to respect ourselves? I mean, we are a really amazing people. Each person is a unique individual who has qualities and unique means. And you know, the thing about it is that a lot of times we underestimate ourselves, and we underestimate ourselves because we buy into a lot of the hype. And some of the best things we can do is to just be quiet a little bit, to be mindful, to understand, to see where we are, and to understand the value that we have. I think that the ultimate living clean, ultimately living clean is choices, is making the choices in our life that takes pure willpower. I believe that the ultimate choices in our life, ultimately the way that you can live clean, is by the choices that you have to make that takes pure and utter willpower. Meaning, it goes against society. It goes against what everybody else is doing. It's easy to do what everybody else is doing. It's easy to sit there and say, well, everybody else is getting trashed. Well, I guess I should. I guess it's okay if I start drinking at noon, too, because everybody else is on a Sunday. It's Sunday fun day. But isn't it about doing the stuff that takes willpower? Isn't it about not letting our addictions get in the way? Isn't it about not letting things take over our life? Willpower. The definition of living clean is willpower. How much willpower do you have to stand up to what you need to stand up to do the right thing, to be the right person, to employ the willpower that we develop, the personal pure self-pride that directly radiates from our inner self, as does our level of thought and dedication? Think about it. Our level of thought and dedication to ourselves is so important. And as we employ this willpower and we develop our personal self-pride, and it's not like a bad self-pride. It's not like, oh, she's so prideful. No, it's that you have this personal pride because you care about yourself. You respect yourself. You develop that respect. You take pride in yourself. You take pride in what you do. And you take pride in the fact that you have willpower. And that, to me, is pretty cool. And because you have that pride from that self-respect, from that willpower, you develop a level of thought, education, and dedication that is seen or at least recognized by other people. Maybe not interpreted, directly interpreted by other people, but it's recognized as something. She's got something. He's got something. People feel it. They don't really know what it is. But there's something about you that makes you a little bit different. I take that back. There's something about you that makes you one in a million, one in a billion. What is it about you? What is it about you? And that willpower is so amazing. And I have to work on it on a daily basis too, okay? Preaching to the choir here. I got to work on it too. And if anybody tells you that it gets that they don't have to work on it, don't believe them. Because again, that's hype. Don't believe that because that's all hype, okay? Because what we have to sit there and think is about how do we develop and employ the willpower in our life. And it's a personal mode of operandi. It's something that we have to work on minute to minute, hour to hour, day after day, year after year. You know, whether you have an inkling to want to have drinks and not work on this or not work on your dedication to this or not work on yourself or not work on your spirituality. You know, maybe you like pharmaceuticals. Maybe you like hanging out with people that bring you down. Maybe you like having sex. Maybe it's hard for you to be monogamous. You think about it. Willpower is a big, big deal. Willpower is one of the toughest things that we do. Willpower changes the game, though. Willpower changes the game because it makes you closer and more godly, right? Because willpower is difficult sometimes. When we have that willpower, though, and we employ it, we develop our own personal pure self-pride, the pride radiates, and we feel good about ourselves. We ultimately feel good about ourselves. Because it's a wonderful thing to do the right thing by others and by ourselves. And a lot of us sit there and say, well, I'm always doing the right thing by others. But are you doing the right thing for you? That's the key. You can go and help the lady across the street. You can go and return the wallet to the man that lost it. You can go and return the money that you found. You can close the door in the office that's open. You can call the police when you see a burger. You can go chase after them. But when it comes to what's right for you too, the stuff that we can hide, the stuff that we don't have to talk about, the stuff that we can put under the rug, that's what matters. Because that's the next level up. You're already doing all those things for everybody else. Now you got to level up to the next level. And it becomes like this yin-yang, this pull and push thing, because you want something that's not good for you. Okay? You want something that's not good for you, and it's hard. It's hard because your mind is playing tricks with you. Because it's trying to tell you, ooh, you just go grab another drink. Ooh, nobody would know, nobody would know, nobody knows. And nobody would know but you. And that's the key. Stay tuned. I'm going to be talking more about how to employ willpower, how you feel and how other people see you, as well as how to be in the right place at the right time. So stay tuned because Perspectives, your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time and well, huh. Okay, we'll be back this time in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about living clean, how it leads to living proud, how it also helps you to be in the right place at the right time, and how that leads to your success and ultimately makes you an honest leader. You know, we were talking about how we have to respect ourselves and how living clean is directly related to making the choices that surround and obtained by willpower. You know, when we actually use willpower and employ willpower and develop our personal power, and our self-pride, our pride begins to radiate from inside out, right? It begins to radiate from the inside out. And so does the level of our thoughts, our education, and our dedication, right? So when we have this willpower and people see it, they don't understand what it is, because when you start living by willpower and making choices by employing your willpower and doing the right thing, even though it can be hard sometimes, and I understand, I get it, it can be, okay? It's something you got to work on a day-to-day basis. And if there's anybody out there telling you any different, they're lying to you. Or they don't have a lot of willpower. Or they're probably not living clean, okay? Because anybody can sit up there and preach about something. Anybody can tell you how you should do it. It's about them working to make this a reality. And I believe that a real leader, yes, may have setbacks occasionally. However, when they have setbacks, they feel very guilty. They feel very upset about it. And it's almost like they have to stop, put it in park, you know, sit in the car, take the keys out of the ignition, put it back in, restart the engine, contemplate what's going on, reset and say, okay, I'm living again and I'm making the choices based on my willpower, not what's fashionable, not what the status quo is, not what my friends are doing, not what the easy way is. I might actually have to step up for what I believe in and do the right thing. That's a big deal. That's a huge deal. Huge. I got to step up to the plate and do the right thing. And when we do that, when we do it, no matter how hard it might be, no matter what greatness that drink looks like, or that food that we know we shouldn't eat, or that person that we know we shouldn't have a relationship with, no matter how great the tables look in Vegas, all these things, no matter how juicy the gossip is, think about it. No matter how much maybe I want to, you know, think about being, you know, a martyr and martyrize myself and feel, you know, poor as me. What about the pity parties we sometimes have? All of these things you have to overcome with willpower. The negativity. When we get negative, when we start living in from a negative point of view, when we let that take over our life, we got to get willpower to come back in there and go, no, I'm better than this. My life's worth more than this. And I got to work day after day to work to get this out of my life. And it might still be in your mind, because our mind is a very interesting thing. Like I tell my clients, work hard to get out of the mind. I don't mean to go crazy now. I'm just saying to get out of the mind. Quit thinking. When we think, when you think a lot and you cross-think and you think about all this stuff, you get out of the mindfulness, you get out of being in the moment, and you get in the mind. You get out of the moment and into the mind, out of the moment, into the mind, and you're no longer a part of society. You're no longer in the present. This is no longer in the present. You are on the sidelines in your mind, deconstructing yourself, probably. All the problems you have and what a loser you are, because your mind works that way a lot of times. And so in order to get out of that, we have to make the right choices, even though sometimes our mind might be telling us that that steak is perfect or that that drink is exactly what we need, when in reality we know that we should have water, that we should have iced tea, or that we don't need to be eating red meat. You know, it's interesting that when we employ this willpower, we feel good about ourselves, right? We feel intrinsically like on fire, like radiant, like we're glowing. We're glowing. We're like stardust all over us. And it's interesting because other people pick up on that. And, you know, and it's a wonderful thing to do the right thing. You know how you feel when you do the right thing for someone else and you go, man, I did the right thing. I saved the day. I saved the day. That is an awesome thing. When you save the day, you save the day. And that's an awesome thing. And think about when you save the day for yourself, how awesome that's going to be. And you know, yourself, you need that. Because by now, throughout my shows, you've realized that I am big on self-love. If you don't love yourself, you can't love me. You can't love other people, because you don't love yourself. what we can't do for ourselves, we can't do for others. What we can do for ourselves, we can do for others. If I understand myself up and down and all around, yes, this time, Ashley, and I get it, I'm going to understand you pretty well. I'm going to understand why you do what you do. I'm going to understand why you make certain choices. I'm going to understand why you stand a certain way, why you look a certain way. I'm going to understand why you're looking at me in maybe a pensive way, or maybe in an inquisitive way, or in a questionable way. I'm going to understand all these different varieties because guess what? I understand why I do it. If I don't understand any of that, I'm not going to understand you from Mars. I'm not going to understand what your deal is. I'm not going to understand what you're doing. I'm not going to understand why you made that funny face at me right now, which you could have been smiling, but I think you're making fun of me. It's awesome when we do the right thing by ourselves because we get to understand ourselves even clearer. You know, things can happen, but we want to minimize it. Things can happen. We can get off task. We can make the wrong choice, but we want to minimize the backlash on it, okay? Because we can get off task and it can make us sad. It can make us depressed. And then it's like we go back prior to living clean and we have to start all over again. It's not always like that. But we have to really focus on the fact that we want to stay in the moment. We want to do the right thing. We need to employ willpower. And yes, people make choices and sometimes we make mistakes. However, we got to get back up, realize why we made the mistake, and not repeat our same mistakes. And let's talk about being in the right place, being mindful, being spiritual in the right place. Because when we're in the right place in our mind, we're already in the right place. It's not a geographical location anymore. It's a state of mind. It's no longer a geographical location anymore, right? It's a state of mind. Because if you're in a place all the time, guess what? You can be in that place all the time, anywhere, all the time, every day, all day, 24/7. And when you're in the right place in your mind, you're going to be in the right place all the time because you're doing the right thing. And when you're living clean, it allows you to not feel guilty. A guilty conscience is one that causes a lot of stress and strain. It makes us question ourselves, makes us feel bad about ourselves, and it undoubtedly puts us into a thinking, sad state of mind. You know, some of us might even not even realize where we're at. We might even walk into a wall. Might even walk into a glass door, a screen door. Because we're not paying attention anymore. We might run over the curb. Because we're too busy dealing with our own guilt. And you know, the things that you did might not be that bad as far as, you know, hey, you had a few drinks, but you know what? When you know that those drinks are antithetical to your personal growth, you're hurting yourself. And you feel guilty because you feel guilty about hurting yourself, not because you had a few drinks. If you're over 21, you can drink to your heart's content. But it's not going to make your heart content, is it? It's going to make you sad. And you're going to realize that you're doing this for a reason and you're not connecting to your higher purpose. You know, when we live clean, it takes the guesswork out of the equation. It takes the guesswork out of the equation of life because it makes it clear what you're doing. It makes it clear what you're doing because you're lighter. If the word airier means anything, you're airier, if that's a word, you're more airier. And you feel good about yourself, and you exude that feeling of feeling good about yourself to others. It takes the guesswork out of the equation. Think about it. When you're living clean, you're not worried about if you're doing the right thing. If you're living clean, you're not worried about what's going to happen next. If you're living clean, you're not having to look over your shoulder and wonder if anybody's going to see you at this place with this person doing this thing. If you're living clean, you don't have to look at yourself in the mirror and feel bad about what just happened. You don't have to feel guilty. You can be reassured and be rest assured that you're in the right place at the right time because you're not second guessing yourself. The biggest thing is you're not worried. When we humans become worried and filled with guilt, we make bad choices. We make choices that do not benefit us. Instead, we make choices that get in the way of our success. We make choices that actually help us to not succeed. The more guilt we feel, the more sadness. The more sadness, the more depression that might come on. The more we might have a tendency to feel like we need a pill, some sort of medical pills to make us feel better, the more we change our brain chemistry. The more we change our brain chemistry, the more we change who we truly are, and the more it takes us longer to get back to who we are. And a lot of that is based on what we internalize and the stress that we allow in our lives. Stay tuned when I return to me talking about success, how to live in success, how to be a success, and better yet, what is a leader and how to be that. Stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time and, well, two shakes.
You could be my luck. Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. We'll be safe and sound.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, tonight we've been talking about living clean. We've been talking about how to be proud, about how to be in the right place at the right time, and how that ultimately leads to success and ultimate leadership. And you know, success comes from years of working, from cultivating, and for actually working toward your goal. But better yet, lasting success comes from living clean. Anybody can have success to some degree when they're working toward a goal and being diligent with some self-belief. However, when you take some self-belief, diligent working, cultivating relationships, cultivating your success, and living clean, employed by willpower, your success will be lasting. And I think that's what we've been seeing lately in the news. With all these politicians, Hollywood stars, NBA players, all kinds of things. We're seeing the worst of the worst come out about these people. And why do you suppose that is? And I think that a lot of people are getting upset with the fact that they feel like people are living a double life. But I feel that people are into the truth and they're exposing this. And I think it's one thing to make a mistake and to overcome that mistake and apologize and get past it. But it's another thing to keep making 150 of the same mistakes. And I think that's where the success has a problem, is that in order to have lasting success, you have to have willpower. And I think that these news stories is what's been telling us that as well, kind of from a backdoor type analysis, if you think about it. No pun. What I'm talking about is it comes from a situation, even though you have all these reports and all this stuff talking about these people and those people, when you think about it, had these people had made amends, made changes to their life, maybe apologize to certain people and overcome that with willpower, we wouldn't be seeing this intensity in the news. And I think that's the key, is that when you have somebody that makes a mistake, our universe, our society wants to embrace it. However, when people keep making the same mistake over and over and over and over and over again, it's premeditated. And success comes lasting when you're living clean, or at least when your heart is in it to live clean and your mind and your purpose is to live clean. You know, success in life, success in life and spiritual success, career success, success in all ways comes together, the ultimate success, when you find your purpose. And you know, you find that purpose because you've actually successfully taken time to understand yourself. You actually get you. You understand you. And you're embracing all that you've worked on, all that you've needed to work on, the stuff that you've really needed to look at, some of the stuff that's not that pretty. You figured it out. You've started to work on it. You're working on it on a daily basis. You're working to be better. Not trying. You are better than you were yesterday. You're not competing against other people, but you're working to be better than you were yesterday. You get it. So you're embracing all that you're working on. You're successfully daily developing your pure and strong and personal willpower. And that willpower is what's going to take you through rough times. And that willpower will make it hard sometimes, where you got to look the other way. You got to keep your head up and you got to keep walking. And sometimes it's easier said than done, and sometimes it's going to be harder than others. And what I say to that is, when it's hard to really employ willpower, look around you. Who's involved? What's the biggest issue? What's the biggest thing that you have to deal with? And see it for what it is. And begin to deconstruct it and figure out, why is it that my mind wants me to have this when this is not right for me? And you know what's right for you, and you know what's wrong for you, okay? We all know those kinds of things. It's like comes innately within us. We know what's light. We know the light from the dark. We know the dark from the light, right? And when we're using the Force, to use a terminology from Star Wars, when we're using the Force, we can successfully develop that pure and strong willpower, the determination driven upon purpose to define ourselves and as a successful leader. You know, and I think what makes a leader is that we respect other people. Leaders respect others and show respect and compassion. And when a leader respects all others and shows compassion, doesn't have to agree with what they're doing, doesn't have to co-sign on it. However, where shows respect to others, genuine respect, others will respect them. That's a sign of a true leader. When you see somebody that's a leader and everybody that comes into contact with them respects them, that's a true leader. That's the definition of a leader. No question. When you see a leader show respect to everybody back, no matter who they are or what they do as their employment, that's a true leader. That's the true definition of a leader. You know, what about honest? A leader is a truth teller. A true leader is a truth teller. A true leader is somebody that doesn't just tell you what you want to hear. A true leader isn't just telling you what you want to hear. A true leader will tell you the truth. And they'll do it in a respectful manner. They're going to tell you the truth because they don't want to lead you on. They're going to tell you the truth because they want to help you. And they're going to tell you the truth because you deserve the truth. Because if they honestly respect you as a person, then you deserve to be told the truth. When you hear somebody telling other person the truth in a respectful manner, even though it's a difficult situation to be in because it's not the easiest thing to do, guess what? You found a leader. That's a true leader. No question about that. We're not talking about what people call political leaders. We're not talking about leaders in general. We're talking about what real leaders are. We're talking about real leaders. Okay? Real leaders. Because that's what we're talking about, right? That's what Perspectives is always about. More answers, less questions. Talking about the truth. Exposing the truth. Expressing the truth. Explaining the truth. Showing the truth. And being a true leader. Being a true leader also means that you establish boundaries, clear and strong boundaries with people. And the way you do that is by telling the truth. Boundaries are created by being truthful. And a real leader creates boundaries easy enough by being truthful and saying the truth. Stating the obvious, stating the true, not leading people on. Explaining to people why they made a certain choice. But better yet, sometimes the truth is not the most accepted. It's being able to say something that you know might not get a smile, might not get a laugh, but in the end, for the most part, being truthful will get you respect. That's what a true leader is. I got great shows for you next week. I got all kinds of stuff, subject matter all over the place, and I want to share it with you. Check out AshleyBurgess.com. Check out the AshleyBurgessNetwork.com. AshleyBurgessNetwork.com. Check me out on Spreaker. Oh, yay. And guess what? Perspectives, your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time in, 3 shakes.